Welcome back to A Servant's Heartbeat. My name is Kristen. Thank you for joining and allowing us to share our heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. This week, sharing our heartbeat comes in the form of a Bible study. We have Brother Brian Pirtle, who is going to join us and teach us a Bible study about the Holy Ghost. So if you have ever had questions or wondered certain things, this may be a great opportunity for you to grab your Bible, something to write with, a cup of coffee, and let's grow together as we learn about the necessity of the Holy Ghost.
All right. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. We do have a very special topic that we'd like to get into. We're going to be talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost and the necessity of having that gift. And so probably the best place to start in the discussion is in the beginning. So in the beginning, man walked with God. Man had a very close relationship with God. But sin entered into the world by man's choice. Sin separates us from God. And we know that God is life, but the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so God put a plan into action to bring us into that spiritual kingdom of God, to bring us back to a place of relationship with Him, to bridge the gap. So let's take a look at the steps that must be taken to enter into that kingdom of God. First, we must have faith. Secondly, there has to be repentance. Thirdly, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And then the fourth and final step would be receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. So faith is important. Without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. Now, faith is more than a mental assent, but true faith is directly tied to obedience. And this is why James would tell us that faith without works is dead. Repentance is also a necessary part of entering into that kingdom. Repentance is more than just saying I'm sorry or feeling sorry for sin, for disobedience, etc. But repentance, true repentance, would be forsaking sin and turning to God, making a dedication, making that change, that turning point in a life to turn away from sin and turn to God. Baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ, water baptism, and this is required for the remission or for the taking away of those sins. And then the Holy Ghost is God's Spirit given to us so that we are able to live a holy and godly life. Speaking with tongues is the initial sign that we have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's not as much us accepting God as it is God searching our hearts for true repentance and desire and then putting His acceptance in us. Romans 10 and 9 does state something interesting. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so belief, faith is absolutely necessary. And confession is absolutely necessary. But 1 Corinthians 12 and 3 also says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so that true confession, that true abundance of the heart has to be spoken by the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And up until that point, we cannot truly say that Jesus is Lord of our life. So what is the Holy Ghost? Simply put, it would be God's Spirit. In John 4:24, Jesus says that God is a Spirit. All of God is a Spirit. So the invisible God manifested Himself in our likeness to make an atonement for our sins. That same Spirit of God through the flesh, who was tempted in all points like we are, now can reside in our hearts to help us to overcome. So the Holy Ghost can be accurately described as the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Rest, the Holy Spirit of Promises. All of those would be applicable. And so we begin to search through the Scriptures. Where in the Scriptures does it talk about the Holy Ghost? Who spoke concerning the Holy Ghost? Well, the prophets, major prophets, minor prophets, prophets in the New Testament, several different ones spoke of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah was one of the main prophets that began to speak of the Holy Ghost. And in Isaiah 28, 9 through 12, he foretold that God would use stammering lips and another tongue to speak to his people. Interestingly enough, that Hebrew word for speak in verse 11, when you look at the original meaning, it begins to give a more extensive definition. It says to arrange or to set things in order, possibly to subdue. Figuratively speaking, it would be to speak as in declaring and in giving of promise, also to teach. So what Isaiah is saying here is once there is a setting in order and the promise is given, then there is a rest and a refreshing that begins to come as the Holy Ghost infills the heart. Joel told of the outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh. And then Peter on the day of Pentecost began to go back to Joel's prophecy. And he said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is that exact same prophecy being fulfilled. This is the outpouring of God's Spirit. This is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that Joel spoke about. And then John the Baptist, who was declared by Jesus as a prophet, began to speak about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with fire. It was in his prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ foretold many different things concerning the Holy Ghost. He described the Holy Ghost as rivers of living water. And this goes back again to and ties into Isaiah. Earlier on in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah described the joy of the experience of receiving the Holy Ghost as like drawing waters from the wells of salvation. So then who can receive the Holy Ghost? God has made conditional promises to those who want the Holy Ghost, those who truly desire the Holy Ghost. When biblical conditions are met, anybody can receive the Holy Ghost. God is no respecter of persons, but he will most certainly give the Holy Ghost to anyone who asks him. And this is actually stated in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And so God's promise is to all flesh. It's to sons, it's to daughters, it's to servants, it's to handmaidens. John, when he began to preach about Holy Ghost baptism, he didn't exclude anyone and say everyone can receive the Holy Ghost except for this group of people or except for these individuals. Peter declared that the Holy Ghost is indeed for Jews and for Gentiles. And so God gives the Holy Ghost to everyone who will obey him, everyone that will, with faith, begin to act in obedience, begin to follow the steps laid out in the Word of God, and then God will fill us to overflowing with his Spirit. Those at Samaria and the Ethiopian received the Holy Ghost. Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and those in his home received the Holy Ghost. And so persons from every kindred, every tongue, and every nation can receive the Holy Ghost. This is something that angels desire to look into. This is something that prophets have searched diligently and inquired diligently into. But this is something that you and I can actually partake of. And so what a blessing to have that promise. Now, the evidence of the Holy Ghost, the initial sign of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is speaking with other tongues. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he began to ask Jesus some questions. And Jesus began to respond to Nicodemus, and he began to give him instruction concerning entrance into the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth." Now this seems a little detached from the rest of the passage, because Jesus is talking about entrance into the kingdom of God, and he's talking about being born of water and spirit, and then all of a sudden he begins talking about trees. He begins talking about the wind. Verse 8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And so something definite happens. Something definite takes place to everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus said, "In like manner you hear the wind blowing, and you hear the sound, and you might not be able to tell necessarily where the wind is coming from, but you know that it is the wind. You hear the effects of the wind." And when you look into the original wording here, that word sound, phoné, it's interesting. It's not just talking about a sound, just any sound that can be heard with the ear, but it is actually a sound connected to language, a noise connected to voice or language. And so Jesus in this verse is tying in that there is a sound that comes forth from everyone that is born of the Spirit. And that sound is brought about by the Spirit of God, the wind blowing, the wind coming from somewhere you might not be able to see necessarily, but you can tell when someone is born of the Spirit because of that sound. And so we see in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, there was a definite sound that began to take place. When the Holy Ghost fell on those that were in the upper room, there was a sound. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. It wasn't something that they made up. It wasn't something that they had learned, but they began to speak with tongues as God gave them that ability. And then throughout the rest of the book of Acts, the building of the church, we see many different times when individuals or groups of people were filled with the Holy Ghost, that they begin to speak with tongues. Acts chapter 8 reveals that the Samaritans had something happen to them. It says that they had not received the Holy Ghost yet, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so they definitely believed. They definitely were trying to be obedient to the scriptures, but they still, up to that point, had not received the Holy Ghost. And then there was something that was evidence. There was something that began to take place to these Samaritans. Simon saw that there was something that happened when these Samaritans had hands laid on them. Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. And so there was a recognition that something changed. Something happened when the hands of the apostles came in contact with the heads of those Samaritans who were seeking the Holy Ghost. There was an evidence. There was a change. There was something that caused Simon to realize that now the Holy Ghost was given. Now the Holy Ghost had been imparted to those that had been seeking. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius' household, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. The disciples of John the Baptist in Acts chapter 19 spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost. And so we see a similarity through all of these different passages of Scripture that the Holy Ghost is very closely connected with speaking in tongues. Paul dealt with this quite a bit in 1 Corinthians, the different types of speaking in tongues, and it is not to be forbidden within the church. So the importance of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is very great. There is an essentiality to receiving the Holy Ghost. And so we must pay close attention, because Romans verses 8 through 9 show us that without the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. And so if we are studying what the Spirit of Christ is, if we are looking into what the Spirit of Christ is, we see that it is the Holy Ghost. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so if we have any hope of making it to heaven, if we have any hope of leaving these mortal bodies and being caught up together with Him, then we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. And again, we cannot truly say that Jesus is Lord of our life except by the Holy Ghost. It is a combination of our testimony, our faith, our utterance, with God's testimony that we have indeed repented and that He has searched our hearts. And there is a connection and a testimony, and we are calling Jesus Lord when we receive the Holy Ghost. The New Testament describes the glorious experience of salvation with several different terms. And so a few of them are worthy of being mentioned. We have washing, the regeneration, the resurrection, the new birth, the spiritual circumcision of the heart, translation. We are translated into the kingdom, being in the kingdom of God, having entrance into the kingdom of God, having experienced salvation, the washing of regeneration, becoming a new creature. So all of these terms are synonymous and can be used when referencing salvation. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says that we need to be renewed in our mind. We need to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The only way to become a new man that walks in the Spirit and not in the flesh, the only way that we can be created in righteousness and have true holiness is to be born again and have that Spirit of holiness, which is the Holy Ghost. We then have to daily be renewed and refreshed in the Holy Ghost. We have to allow the Spirit of God to lead us and to teach us in ways contrary to the flesh. Thank you very much for tuning into this podcast, and we pray that the Spirit of God cover you and lead you into all truth. In Jesus' name.